They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WEBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
This is On The Commons with your host, Sue Bartholomew. On The Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. WBR Fairfax Radio, you're on The Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew, and joining us on The Commons today, we have Marjorie Murray. Marjorie, thank you so much. I know you're in California, and you've been very busy. We're going to focus on three things today, and these are things that I think are sort of affect everybody across the country. Number one, we're going to talk a little bit about why the homeowners or how the homeowners can start taking control of their lives and not allowing themselves to be flotsam and jetsam in this sea of HOA horror. And you've started an organization in California. We're also going to talk a little bit about foreclosures, and that is something that seems to be sweeping the country. And then we're going to talk about legislation. This is also the perennial question. So get comfortable and let's talk. Let's meet Marjorie. Many of you know her. But Marjorie, thank you so much for joining us today. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and your organization, the California Center for Homeowner Association Law.
Thank you very much, Sue. I appreciate the invitation to come on the show and to give you an update on some of the things that are taking place in California. Yes, we do have now in place the Center for California Homeowner Association Law. It is a 501c3 nonprofit, and its purpose is to provide, it has several purposes. The first one is to provide consumer and civil rights information to homeowners currently living in associations. We also get lots of questions from people who are thinking about buying in a homeowner association. We also get many media inquiries and inquiries from policymakers at all levels of government about some of the data that we have collected on the homeowner experience in common interest developments, as they are called in California. That's the legal term. In state statute, common interest development, we often refer to them as CIDs. Our center is located in Oakland. We have a wonderful board of consumer attorneys who guide the center in its policies and programs. And we get inquiries every day by phone and by email, probably four or five a day at a minimum, asking for information and counsel and help. So California, as you may recall, has more homeowner associations than any other state. And keep in mind that I'm always using these terms interchangeably, SHU. Sometimes I call them homeowner associations and other times common interest development. So bear with me.
So California's got the most. At one point, I thought Florida had. So apparently
No, California has more common interest developments than any other state.
Okay.
We have about 46,000 CIDs, or homeowner associations, and right now about 9 million Californians, or about a quarter of the state, lives in a homeowner association. They
Wow.
do take a number of forms. It's hard to tell if you're standing outside a building or outside a new subdivision. It's often extremely difficult to tell whether or not it is a CID. But it could even be a mobile home park that is set up as a CID. It can be a condo, a co-op, a stock cooperative, and certain kinds of apartment complexes. So in California, they take many forms. About a quarter of the state now lives in them. They are the fastest growing form of housing in California. About 60% of all new housing in California is a common interest development.
And the only place for a lot of these people to turn to for questions, because I get a lot of calls and emails and questions as well, and there's really not, there really aren't that many people, not that many places where homeowners can turn to for help. They half the time don't understand what's going on.
Well, that's part of our emphasis, is to provide information ideally before the buyer purchases a home in a common interest development. And that's a tall order, trying to reach every potential buyer of a new home or every potential buyer of a home, whether new or not. But we do get those inquiries, and we also reach out to boards. We get a lot of questions from homeowners serving on the association board about what their duties are.
We hear so much from, you know, the horror stories, and at the heart of the horror story is always a bad board, but not all boards are bad, and not everybody who serves on a board is necessarily bad or gets the information that they need, even though they may allegedly have a sort of educated, knowledgeable professional manager and an association attorney. Even so, quite often I think the board members end up not knowing where to turn, not knowing what to do, wanting to do the right thing, but not having clear guidance. Is that what you're finding?
That's absolutely correct. And I think the point I would make about that is that homeowners and board directors alike can get scraps of information from various sources. They might get information from a news story. They get information from a property manager. They may get contradictory information from the association attorney, if they have one. They may get partial information from their legislator if they think to call a legislative office. I think the point I would emphasize is there is no one place that is objective for the homeowner or board director to get coherent, integrated, and factual information about what their rights and duties are in the homeowner association.
An interesting observation, and I guess you're absolutely right. So it is kind of confusing and garbled.
It's confusing, it's incomplete, it's garbled, and depending on who the information source is that the homeowner consults, that source may have their own agenda for skewing the information or providing incomplete information. The example I would offer is that we now have in California two fairly new and very strong laws governing association elections. But the homeowner and even boards will get competing information or contradictory information depending on who they ask about the new elections law. If they ask the property manager may have as a goal to become the inspector of elections, which is potentially a paid position. And I would say ditto for the accounting firm that is currently providing services to the association. Now, we don't do, that's not one of the services that we provide. We don't offer election monitoring services. And there are plenty of vendors out there who took a look at the new elections law and then saw the business potential in it and began marketing their services to homeowner associations to implement and monitor elections. But they saw it as an opportunity
to make money.
Now, that's not our purpose. Our purpose, and we were one of the organizations that worked very closely with Senator Jim Batten on the three election bills. Our purpose is basically to clean up homeowner association elections. That's our goal.
That's a tall order.
It's a very tall order, and we commend Senator Batten for carrying these bills. He has hundreds and hundreds of homeowner associations in his district, and so this is an issue that his constituents brought to him. He's very dedicated to the issue. So our hats are off to him, and we want to see to it that the law gets implemented correctly by providing as much accurate information as we can.
We'll come back and we'll talk about that, because I'd like to go into a little more detail on that. But before we do, I think one thing we've neglected to do so far is to give out your web address.
Oh, thank you. Yes, thank you very much.
So.
Thank you. Our web address is www.calhomelaw.org, and if you like, I'll spell it for you. It's www.calhomelaw.org. And as I said, we are a 501c3 nonprofit.
And how old is your organization?
We incorporated in 2005, but before that, we were working in Sacramento. When I say we, I'm talking about the principals of the organization. We have been working together for a long time, providing advocacy and information services to homeowners, and also working on legislation in Sacramento. And we have been doing that work since 2001. So we have actually been doing the work that the center now does. We have been doing that work for a number of years, but the center formally incorporated in 2005. And the reason we created the center is we finally realized that it was really not possible to provide provide homeowners with the information they need in a coherent and ongoing way unless we had an organization dedicated to that purpose.
Well, I just want to say at this point that you've got an excellent website. It's very informative. I love the look of it. It's easy to navigate. It's easy to find stuff. And there's a lot of information there. So I would recommend that you all check it out. It's calhomelaw.org. Don't forget the www in front of it, but calhomelaw.org. And I will put, I think there is a link on my website to it, and I will certainly put something in the promo. So, you know, check it out. Go and see what's going on there. I also, before we move on, Marjorie, I also want to talk a little bit about the fact that you guys were the first to put on a seminar for the homeowners as opposed to an industry type of seminar. There have been two more since then. One in New Jersey, which I attended, and also one in Florida earlier this year. And I'm really excited about that. I think that's just exciting to see that the homeowners are actually starting to take control and saying, wait a minute, you know, you're not the only game in town. We can do this too.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for saying that, Shu. Yes, we did our first conference quite a while ago, actually, in 2004. That was even before we had formed the center and had incorporated. We did a second one in 2006. These were both statewide conferences that brought homeowners together. And that builds on what I said earlier, which is it's so vital for homeowners to get correct information and to get it from unbiased sources. And at both conferences, we had first-rate speakers. We had representatives of agencies and departments of the state of California, for example, the Department of Real Estate. We had consumer attorneys. We had people from the Department of Consumer Affairs. We had representatives from the legislative offices who talked directly about the bills that got signed into law. So they were homeowners were getting information that was not filtered, which I think is absolutely vital. to get information from firsthand from sources who are best qualified to speak to whatever the issue is, whether we're talking about foreclosures or getting access to the association financial records or making sure that elections are fair and above board, or if we're talking about dispute resolution. All of those issues need to be addressed by experts in the area who will provide the homeowners with unbiased information.
That sounds great. Do you plan on doing it on a regular basis? I mean, I'm sure it must take a heck of a lot of work to put together.
Well, it is an extraordinary amount of work. And we are talking about doing another one, but at the same time, we are also talking about doing smaller, more localized events. One of the challenges in California, as opposed to, say, Rhode Island, is, I don't know how many CIDs are in Rhode Island, but California is an enormous state. You know, end to end, it's hundreds and hundreds of miles. And homeowner associations, I've already said what the number is, you know, a quarter of the state now lives in them. So it's very difficult to mount one event that will be convenient for people to get to. I mean,
right.
It involves an
that's
expense.
Right.
It's an expense for people to come. And, of course, that's where our website comes in. We really want the website to be our chief educational tool. But at the same time, we recognize that there's huge benefit in homeowners coming together under one roof and exchanging information and meeting one another and also meeting representatives from the state agencies that they're going to be dealing with.
Marjorie, one of the big things that we hear about, you know, the problem with associations is the lack of education. And right now, CAI is the only entity out there that supposedly is educating the board members, the professional, so-called professionals. They're accrediting them, the homeowners, and everybody else. They want to be in charge of education. As we both know, that is not necessarily fair and unbiased. What do you suppose the chances are down the road that the Cal Home Law Organization would actually take on education, maybe putting on workshops? Is that something that's too far out of the realm of possibility, or what do you think?
Oh, well, not at all. I mean, we're already doing that.
Putting on workshops for homeowners?
Well, our website is our main education and outreach tool. And I think I also mentioned that we get inquiries, you know, 4 and 5 a day from homeowners. Now that's, some of whom are board directors. Now that's doing education and outreach on, let's call it, a retail basis. This is, you know, one-on-one we're providing information and referral services to homeowners. We are also planning and about to execute certain workshops. For example, we're doing one on April 23rd, down in Ventura County. And that will be at a local library. It's being hosted, actually, by Global Exchange, which is an organization committed to social justice. So we're doing that event on the 23rd, and we have some other events also on the drawing board. So this speaks to what I just mentioned, that we are talking about doing another statewide conference, but at the same time, we are planning workshops in smaller venues, more localized, so that the people in Ventura County can come to them. Now, Ventura County, if you take a look at a map of California, that's roughly in the center of the state towards the coast. It's right next door to Los Angeles County.
Oh, okay.
So if homeowners from Los Angeles County also wanted to come, they would be more than welcome.
Okay, the reason I ask is because in Florida, they, I guess, put out a bid and to do some educating over there, and the only people who responded were the industry. And when you look at what we've been doing. There have been a lot of homeowners who've been very active and who've done a lot of really great things. But, you know, when it comes to competing at that level, we just don't have it. In Virginia, we now have, you know, some new legislation that's going into, that's waiting for the governor's signature. And again, it's just dumping everything in the lap of the industry. And you and I both know that the industry is not the most unbiased source for this stuff. But look, in Virginia, it's, you know, basically they're really not the people here to be able to take that. And I'm just wondering if at some point the homeowners will get to be organized enough, I guess, to be able to challenge the industry and to be able to take over some of that stuff. I was getting signals from outside, so if I was a little distracted, that's why. I'm sorry. All right, go ahead.
No, I was going to say I'm not familiar with the Florida. You said it was the state that was going to let a contract for consumer education or for the education.
I'm not sure. They put something out, and the only people who responded were the industry. I mean, they put out a bid. I think they would have entertained proposals from other people, but we're just not that organized at this point. At least not. Not here in Virginia. That's the only state I can really talk about for sure. We just don't have the ability to handle something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that would be an issue, particularly for a state as large as California. Again, you have to keep California's breadth and width, or length and breadth, or whatever it is. Always in mind, and that each section of the state also has its own climate, has its own geography, has its own culture. And so to, you know, try to organize homeowners up and down the state, that would be a tall order indeed. But certainly what we can do is to educate homeowners who ask for information and ask for help. And that's what our mission is at the moment. And it will be a long process. And there has been no history in California, really, of homeowners working together in a collaborative way. And
I think that's a big problem, across the country.
You said something about taking on the industry. I don't myself frame it that way. I see it more in terms of homeowners coming together to control their own communities, whatever that's going to take.
Okay, let me try
whoever the perceived opposition is, but rather taking control of the community itself. I mean, that is, after all, the alleged purpose of these communities.
Okay, let me.
They are supposed to be democratic, homeowner-controlled, homeowner-run, and so on for the common good.
Let me try to explain
that's not how it's working out.
Let me try to explain what I meant, Marjorie. In Virginia, they just passed a huge comprehensive rewrite of the laws governing condo and homeowner associations. The idea here is to provide some kind of oversight to ensure that management companies do not embezzle funds. So they've done this by setting up an entire board, and the entire board is made up of industry. It has managers, it has CAI attorneys or attorneys who represent associations, it has CPAs who work within associations, it has someone from the timeshare, you know, industry. And the way it's all written is that everything, you know, everyone on this board
is somehow a professional in the HOA industry, when they look around to see if there's anybody, well, okay, three of this 11-member board is going to be from the citizens, and we had a really hard time getting them to make sure that the citizen members are members who live in associations. I think the reason they did not want that, and the reason they fought so hard for that, to leave that open, is because they wanted to stuff those three positions full of industry, and we all know that the industry thinks that associations are wonderful, but they will not live in them themselves. So that was a big, big problem that we had. Again, there's no organization. I mean, there's me, who's kind of vocal and frank, but we don't have an organization in Virginia, so there's nothing to go to. There's no one to go to and say, gee whiz, you're the Virginia home law organization, and therefore we want some representatives from you. There's no one to tap into. So I applaud what you've done in California. That's something that we've failed on here. We have not done that.
Well, I don't think it's a matter of failure. I think it's that it's a matter of evolution, is how I would put it, that you reach a point where you say, in order to move to the next phase of the work, we need an organization. Whether it's incorporated or not, it's an organization of people who come together on a regular basis and talk about the issues and lay out a program and have goals and execute the programs in order to reach the goals. So it's a evolutionary process is how I would describe it.
We're talking to Marjorie Murray. Marjorie has the California Home Law Organization. And in California, the website is www.calhomelaw.org. I would highly recommend that you check it out. There's some really great stuff there. Marjorie, we're kind of running out of time. I do want to talk about some other issues, but briefly before we go into foreclosures, which we need to do, just want to mention a survey that was taken by Service Magic, which is also another website out there. And in this survey, they said that two-thirds, they just did an online survey, and they had 3,000 people who responded. Two-thirds of those who live in the jurisdiction of a homeowners association are, quote, annoyed by them or worse. 19% have been in what they call a war with their HOA. But the article, it's a very short article. It goes on to say the upside is that 24% who responded about HOAs were positive. I don't know about you, Marjorie, but when I did my math, 24%, that leaves 76 who are not positive about HOAs, and I wouldn't go bragging about that.
Well, I'm not really familiar with the parameters of this survey, Shu. I did look at it briefly online, so, I mean, I don't know if people self-selected in order to respond to the survey, or if whoever put the survey together went out and did a random sample, or what. I guess we would not be too surprised at the response, given the nature and quantity of inquiries that come into our center. I mean, people call in here because they have very serious issues to deal with. And then, of course, one of the things that struck me on the website was there was a brief video embedded in the survey or that accompanied the survey, which was really a promotional for homeowner associations. It didn't say if this was California only people responding to it. That part of it wasn't clear. But I was struck in the video by the fact that it really was a promotional for homeowner associations, and it also put the burden on the consumer. The consumer was supposed to find out, I mean, this is actually a good idea, but it did put the burden on the potential buyer of a home in a common interest development, and then post-purchase on the homeowner to get involved in homeowner association operations, again, a good idea. But the message was that if you have a complaint about a homeowner association, the complaint is not arising from the fact that there's something structurally deficient with the laws that govern homeowner associations, but rather you as homeowner haven't tried hard enough. So there were some elements of the video which I would certainly question.
Well, I intend to follow up on it, but I just thought it was interesting considering every time there's a story, a horror story out there, CAI trots out with their Zogby thing that says 99.999% of all homeowners are ecstatic with their HOAs. Mm-hmm. And then here you have another one that says, you know, over three quarters of them mm-hmm. are not. I mean, they're not, mm-hmm. they find them to be problematic.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's always possible to produce a poll or a survey which is self-serving, which comes up with the conclusions that you want it to come up with. And, you know, unless it's done by somebody who really knows what they're doing and who does it in a purely professional and unbiased way, then it's always possible to get the results that you want and then to trumpet that as a legitimate survey when it may be nothing of the kind.
I agree with you. Anyway, we're talking to Marjorie Murray, and we're going to be talking now about one of the big headline grabbers across the country, and this is no less so in California, and that's foreclosures. What's going on with foreclosures in California?
Well, the foreclosure situation in California is desperate. California, it has all kinds of ramifications, particularly in Sacramento. And by that I mean the fact that there are so many homes in foreclosure or in the foreclosure process means that they are also not paying their property taxes. And if they're not paying their property taxes, that's the lifeblood of government in California. So at the moment, we have what is probably an underestimate of a $16 billion deficit in Sacramento. And so this is catastrophic. Because it means that state government intends to cut back even on necessary services to the poor in the area of housing and health. It means local government will not have the resources it needs. I mean, it's just this terrible domino effect.
Who's doing the foreclosures, Marjorie?
Well, that's a very good and a very basic question. I think if we step back for a moment, I mean, it's certainly the lenders who are doing the foreclosures. The question which needs to be examined closely, and the research has yet to be done, is whether or not it's lenders foreclosing in common interest developments. Now, there are some pieces of legislation in Sacramento which are based on this assumption that the foreclosures are taking place in common interest developments, and therefore the lenders are going to have to remedy the financial consequences to the homeowner association, and I can speak in more detail about that bill. But if you step back for a moment and think about this, the counties where the foreclosure rates are the highest in California are the counties where there has been an explosion of common interest developments in the last 3, 4, 5 years. Those counties are Sacramento, San Joaquin, San Diego, Riverside, San Bernardino, Kern County, and so on. So it's an interesting question to look at whether the explosion of common interest developments in California has been one of the contributing factors to the foreclosure meltdown. and that question is not being examined. But as I say, there is an important piece of legislation in Sacramento which assumes that that is the case, and that if the lender forecloses, then the lender is going to have to ante up delinquent assessments to the homeowner association. So we'll have to see where that bill goes. But I just want to emphasize this point that California is one of the top states where foreclosures are occurring. California is the top state where common interest developments are being built. The counties where the foreclosure rates are the highest are the counties where the common interest developments have overrun the county jurisdiction. So naturally, it would be quite logical to ask the question, to what extent has the overbuilding contributed to the foreclosure rates?
Wow, that is an interesting thought, because like you, I also get calls and emails and things, and I'm starting to hear from people who say that they're being special assessed, they're getting special assessments to cover the delinquency because there are a number of foreclosures in their developments, and the people who are losing their homes are not going to pay their assessments. You know, it's fairly, I mean, you're not going to lose your home and then pay your assessment, right, Marjorie?
That's logical. I mean, just as homeowners don't pay the property taxes, they don't pay the assessments, they don't pay the lender. And the order is that they stop paying the assessments, then they become delinquent on the property taxes, and then what they are hoping is that they are able to have enough resources to be able to pay the lender.
Now, most places usually collect the taxes with the mortgage, and so they escrow that. That's not happening in California. Most lenders won't do that.
Well, I think that varies with the lender and the mortgage. But you're not required to have the lender escrow the property taxes and then send them on to the county tax assessor.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That must be different in California, because I think...
Yeah, because we ourselves, we pay our mortgage and then separately we pay our property taxes. They're on a different schedule. We pay them twice a year.
Okay. But what's happening now, Marjorie, is that what I'm hearing from people is that a lot of homeowners are being zapped with special assessments to cover the costs of the common maintenance bills, because a lot of houses in their development, a lot of their members have been foreclosed on, and therefore nobody is paying it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you've got fewer people paying a bigger chunk of the common costs.
Well, this is an extremely interesting question. The levying of special assessments to cover costs. Now, if the association had properly funded its reserve accounts...
We're talking about maintenance. We're not talking about reserves.
Wait a second. I need to explain this, how it works in California. In California, no doubt as elsewhere, the association is required to have reserve accounts. Now, under state law here in California, the association can borrow from the reserve accounts for operating costs, which would be maintenance costs. They just have to create a plan through which they are going to replenish the reserves. So theoretically, I mean, if the reserves were properly funded and the property manager and board were on the same page, they could theoretically tide themselves over by borrowing from the reserve accounts and not having to resort to a special assessment. Theoretically, they could do that. Most associations, in our experience, first of all, don't have reserve accounts, or they had reserve accounts and they wasted them, or they borrowed from them and then never paid them back. And so they can't look to the reserve accounts as a potential bank for themselves, so to speak. And we are getting lots of questions, as you are, from homeowners, and lots of complaints about very large special assessments. Maybe not necessarily to cover the delinquent assessments of other homeowners that have been foreclosed on, but just, you know, big special assessments. And they can't figure out the why or the wherefore of them.
And so what happens then? You're going to end up with people who cannot afford, who are basically trying to make ends meet as it is, and then they get zapped with a big special assessment that they can't afford to pay, and then they lose their home. So you're just adding more fuel to the foreclosure fire.
Well, there's no question about that, and we have talked to lawmakers in Sacramento about this phenomenon, that what the scenario we have just described is going to create a second wave of foreclosures, because the association will put a special, will levy a special assessment that people cannot afford, and then it won't be the lender foreclosing, it'll be the homeowner association foreclosing. So, you're right about that.
So, in all fairness, I have not heard from anyone in California saying that they were being zapped with a special assessment to get, you know, to cover the cost of the delinquent or the, you know, the assessments that were not being collected by people who had been foreclosed on. But I am hearing from other parts of the country, from different states across the country, where maybe, I don't know, maybe they're not allowed to get, you know, borrow from the...
From the reserve?
I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I know that if the money's not coming in, and especially in condominiums where you've got utility bills and, you know, all of that type of stuff, and there's no money coming in, they're going to have to do something. Anything else on foreclosures that's going on that's interesting that we need to watch?
Well, I can say that there have been town halls and community forums from one end of the state to the other, in an attempt to provide foreclosure counseling to homeowners. Governor Schwarzenegger has held 10 town halls from San Diego up far north as, I think, probably Sonoma County, and then also east in the Great Central Valley in the areas like Bakersfield and Stockton. Federal officials have been out here, like Secretary of State Paulson. The Hope Now Alliance has also been out here. They are part of NeighborWorks, the congressionally chartered organization. They have also held huge fairs out here. So federal, state, and local government have been sponsoring these fairs to bring homeowners under one roof to try to get them, it's basically triage, to try to get them foreclosure counseling on the spot. Now, how many of these homeowners are in common interest developments is an unknown. But according to the industry, it's a high number, because that's the reason that they are pushing legislation in Sacramento requiring that any foreclosing entity, which is code for the lender, if any foreclosing entity initiates foreclosure, and this would be at the notice of default stage, then that person is on notice that they are going to be liable for any delinquent assessments, including special assessments. So it's a piece of legislation that we are watching closely.
Is this, before we go into that, do you have a ballpark figure of how many foreclosures there are in California, or is that not available?
Well, I don't have that here in front of me, Shu. Now, we do know, we can track the number of notices of default, and that's the first document that gets recorded in the foreclosure process. And in December, there were 50,400 recorded notices of default. That's a very high number.
Wow.
And I don't think it's gone down. So
wow, I think it's gone up. Nationally, it's gone up in 2008.
Yeah, the second highest number came from the state of Florida in that same time period, where they had 30,000 notices of default recorded. So, you know, again, California, though, is a huge state. There's been huge amounts of overbuilding. There's been speculation. Even some private homeowners have purchased more than one home in the belief that the home prices were going to go up and the mortgage terms looked too good to turn down.
Right, right.
So it's a complicated story. There's no easy answers. There's no easy stats either.
We're talking to Marjorie Murray from California, and we're talking about the state of affairs in California. And one of the things, Marjorie, that we always tend to do is we look to our legislators to fix the problem. And you've sort of talked a little bit about legislation that's making its way through proper channels in California. Anything you want to tell us about legislation that's going on?
Well, one bill that we are following very closely is a bill that would basically overhaul existing state law governing homeowner associations. Current state law is often referred to as the Davis-Sterling Act, which is a combination of the Civil Code and the Corporations Code melded a number of years ago into this more comprehensive document called, or integrated document called, the Davis-Sterling Act. And the California Law Revision Commission was tasked by the legislature with the project of looking at existing law to see if it would make recommendations for change. And it has now published this massive piece of legislation. It's 250 pages long. Everybody is struggling to study it, to figure out what changes have been made, because unfortunately the Law Revision Commission did not issue a side-by-side redlined version of what the changes are. So you have to follow the breadcrumbs to figure out what in existing law is being changed. And there has been only one hearing on the bill so far. We are extremely concerned about many of the changes, which appear to either weaken or delete altogether many of the consumer protections that have been put in place in the last 5 years by the legislature and signed into law, and signed into law by both Republican and Democratic governors. Putting consumer protection in place in the law has really been a bipartisan effort in California, and we really salute the legislators who have carried these difficult bills, like Senator Batten on elections, like Assemblyman Dave Jones on getting access to records, like Denise DeCheney on providing consumer protection to the homeowner threatened with an association foreclosure over assessments. So we are very concerned about the bill. It is AB 1921. You can read it online. If you are a listener from California, I really urge you to read it online at the state's website, which is leginfo.ca.gov. That's leginfo.ca.gov. To see for yourself what some of these critical changes are. I'll give you one concrete example. Under current law, if you want to see an association's membership list, you have to make the request in writing, and you have to say why you want to look at it. And that reason has to be related to your position as a member of the association. In other words, you say, I want to send a flyer about my candidacy to every member of the association. You can't say, well, I want to sell insurance policies to every member of the association. That would be a legitimate reason for the association to deny your request. Now, however, AB 1921 would require that to inspect any association record, you have to supply a reason, and the association will determine whether or not it's a valid reason. And in addition, you will have to pay the association $10 an hour up to $200 per request to examine a record.
You're kidding.
So this is very problematic. It's very troubling. We are talking to the Law Revision Commission, urging them to change this provision, and we have high hopes that they will do so. But that's only one example of many examples, and I think it's going to take a great deal of effort to, first of all, just to examine the bill, to identify the changes. And so, again, if we have California listeners of this program, we would urge them to get in touch with us because we are taking a close look at the bill simply as a research document, researching what the changes are.
That's absurd because one of the things they'll tell you is, you know, you've got to get involved, you've got to know what's going on, and yet they're frustrating any attempts for people to understand what's going on, to get involved, to provide the oversight. And in fact, if I remember correctly, there was a lawsuit out of California, and I don't remember which one it was, where the judge absolutely came down very hard on the homeowner, saying that the homeowners had not provided the required oversight to the association. And here the legislature is trying to make it difficult for homeowners and maybe exclude homeowners from participating in this so-called democratic process by imposing $200 fees on examining the books and records. That's absurd.
Well, it's not only examining the books and records, it's going to be a charge to retrieve the record. So let's say your association stores them in an underground facility in Nevada. I mean, you would have to pay to have them retrieved from the storage facility and trucked to California. And some associations do that.
Why? Don't you have any place in California to store these things?
We do, but I'm just citing, an example. I will say, however, that we have spoken to the Law Revision Commission staff, and they are very open to our continued conversations with them about the bill. So that's the good news about the bill. The challenge is, and everybody recognizes it, all of the trade group representatives, including CAI, that the bill, just as constructed, is a huge challenge to walk through and to try to figure out what the changes are. So we're hoping that the bill will actually get slowed down, because otherwise there won't be a real opportunity to study it.
That's, it sounds like you need God. I don't know, Marjorie, but you know, looking around the country, every time the legislature goes in and decides they're going to fix the problem, they just tend to make it that much worse.
Well, I can't speak to the other states. I think that's more your kingdom.
That's more my kingdom. My realm, my domain. Here.
Your realm, yeah. Right. But I can speak to what's going on in California. And I wouldn't paint the legislature with one brush. The legislature in California, again, because of the size, we have a huge legislature and many distinct individuals in it. So we are very grateful to the legislators who have carried CID bills with consumer protection provisions in them. And I do believe that they will not be happy to see the laws that they worked so hard on be changed with a stroke of a pen through AB 1921.
I've seen it happen, and I know it's the special interests that go in and write. I mean, we just had a huge 98-page rewrite of our laws here. It was written by the industry, and we did a show about it. And, I keep seeing the same things crop up across the country, and the common denominator is the industry. Mm-hmm. You know, it's their Christmas wish list. Dear Santa, here's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it time and time and time again. It's not just in Virginia. It's not just in California. It's across the country.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I was interested in what you said, Shu, about what's going on in Virginia, that there has been this wholesale overhaul of the law, and I think that that is part of the national agenda, industry agenda, which is to do these comprehensive rewrites and to do them against principles and policies established by the industry. And so that is all the more reason that it is vital for homeowners to become involved in this process, to find out what the current law is, what changes are being proposed, and to make sure that those changes do not get put in place.
And if you don't want to have to spend $200 just to look at the books and records,
to get them pulled out of the filing cabinet.
Exactly. So you absolutely need to get involved, because mm-hmm. otherwise they're just going to frustrate every effort that you make to provide any kind of oversight to your it's your pocketbook, folks. It's your pocketbook.
Mm-hmm.
You decide. Marjorie, I love you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, you're very welcome, Shu. It's always a pleasure to have a conversation with you and to give you an update on what's going on in California. I myself am a native Californian, and that's why on our website the homepage is filled with poppies and lupin and also historic California courthouses. We are a firm believer in the beneficial effects of the law, and we will continue to work towards creating fair consumer protection laws that will protect people who live in associations.
Your website is beautiful. It's easy to navigate. Again, let's give the web address very quickly.
It's calhomelaw, calhomelaw.org, and we are the Center for California Homeowner Association Law. Thank you so much, Sue.
Thank you so much, Marjorie. Thanks to all of you. Thank you for joining us today. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. That's onthecommons, all one word, .us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions. Thanks again for joining us, and see you all next week.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine. and enjoy those precious golden years. Stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers, slither clothes, but they won't tell. Why our dream home should remind us, we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us, we bought a one-way ticket to hell.